Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting from the 80 Up Studio, it's the longest-running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team. It's Friday, November 17th. Welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and we are a week from Thanksgiving. This is a special time for remembering that we all have a lot to be thankful for, and you guys are one of the things I'm thankful for. The 22nd of this month will mark the anniversary of me taking over for the legends who started Ante Up, Scott and Chris. I've learned a lot in this year, and I've tried to create something that I can be proud of and at the same time be entertaining to you. We've managed to grow the listenership of the podcast. The magazine's new digital format has been a success with readers, and honestly, it's been a lot of fun. It's also been a lot of work. I know it took some getting used to. I took some getting used to. The format, though similar, had some changes to get used to. But you all stuck in there, and we've managed to bring some new people into the fold. We've created the YouTube page where you can find some of the hands of the week, call the floors, and even some of my one-outers. We've built the Patreon page as a place for behind-the-scenes content and that monthly Patreon poker game. Cruises are coming back in October of 2024, and Elle and I are always thinking of new ways to be able to engage with you guys. Let me know if you can think of something that you would like to see or hear from the show. I love the idea that we can grow the game of poker together. I just wanted to share that with you guys this week. That's all I really have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle and Bob Popper. How's it going, you two?
Yeah, ladies first.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been a pretty busy, wonderful, warm week here out on the East Coast. Pretty good. We're doing pretty good here.
We've had record warmth here in the Midwest, and guys are out golfing like nobody's business. If this were Florida and it's 55 or 60 degrees, the guys in Florida would say, "And I'll wait till tomorrow when it's 75. But out here, it's like ants on a hill of honey. They're out there. And yeah. They're just golfing their
tails off.
Yeah, it's really nice out here. We get one more day. I think today's our last day, and then we get into the 40s and normal weather for this time of year. But it's fabulous.
Do you play golf, Bob?
I try. I volunteer at some golf courses, and I work at some others. And you know, with everything going on, I play once a week with the old guys in the neighborhood. Other than that, I get free golf at the places I work, and I don't take advantage of it.
Oh, wow. Bob, you got to do better with that. You volunteer so much. I'd love to know how many volunteer hours you've put in just this year alone. You're always out helping somebody else. That's what we love so much about you.
Well, I try. And you know, it's good to pay it forward if you can. I started doing some of this volunteer stuff some years ago, and it feels pretty good. And hey, if I volunteer at a golf course, I don't feel too bad about it.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, because I think this is fascinating, the F1 is in Vegas this week. I think it's Sunday.
Hot topic.
Yeah. It's the most expensive Grand Prix on the entire schedule to attend. But I don't think people are really that taken by it in Vegas. It doesn't seem to be hit by a lot of fanfare there.
Well, F1 is not typically really supported in the U.S. as heavily as it is internationally. And so that's why it's a big deal to have it here. There's not typically a ton of F1 races here in the U.S. The majority pull, you know, the race in Abu Dhabi in the UAE is huge, and lots of other locations in Europe. You're not going to find as many people supporting the sport here. That's one reason, at least in my opinion. But I think also Vegas is just so cramped as it is, and they've had to do extra construction to like block the fountains in case there's a wreck. We don't have a car that goes over into the fountains, and you know, it's added a lot of stress to the locals, I feel like, and that's where we're hearing a lot of the noise. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree, but I don't think they handled it very well. This is actually the second U.S. stop on their schedule, but I just don't think they handled it very well. They put fees on all of the businesses that had view of the track, and then they backed those off because they had originally said, if you don't pay the fees, then we're going to build these structures up so you can't see it. And then I think they figured out that that was going to cost money, so they backed off the fees. I don't know. So many of the tickets that they just haven't seen enough of them sold. So they've been discounted by as much as like 60%. I guess.
I wish we'd been able to get our son-in-law tickets at that rate. I had no idea.
And even the hotels. I heard recently at over the weekend at Play Poker Chicago that the hotels have gone down significantly. So maybe it's a good time to go to Vegas now without a view. I heard what you heard. That's the talk around here, that they were charging thousands of dollars for rooms with a view.
Yes.
Then they backed them off. And, you know, people were not very happy about that. I know we had a race here in Chicago around in July that upset the traffic patterns and everything else downtown Chicago. But I think it was pretty successful. The F1, I'm not so sure that it's as well received there in Vegas as the race was here in Chicago. I tell you who would love to talk about this, and I wish he were sitting by my side, is Chicago Joe. He's an avid race fan.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely. And we talked, actually, he and I last week about the rooms and what was going on down there. He's not going, but he would love to have been down there.
And, I bet.
Yeah, we'll have to give him a shout, and we'll give him a special call this week about it, see what he thinks.
Yeah.
And make sure when you do, you write him a little bit about not being a repeat champion.
Yeah, the Patreon game, he jumped on with us again this week. That game continues to grow, but our champion was actually from Wine Country, as I was informed. And beat out Brian Bly, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was fun. I was not able to actually play in this month. A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. And when she can get a haircut and highlights, she's going to go. So it sounds a little bit ridiculous, but that's where I was at the beginning, and I didn't make the 40-minute cutoff. So I brought us some takeout Chinese and got to watch the end of it. It was really fun. Very competitive. It was really neat. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest was represented, and I think it came down to a battle between the Midwest and the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
I know I would have done better as, you know, holding up the ambassador end of things had I not had a problem getting the Chicago Bears game on my phone while I was on my computer down in my basement. I couldn't get the Bears game on. I was trying to get it, and I was so frustrated that I didn't think about poker. And shame on me. I think the Bears won. I'm not sure. But what a waste of time trying to get that game on instead of playing the Patreon poker game. And so I will be sharper and better tuned in next time
around. Bob, well, you got to remember the 6 P's. Pre-planning prevents piss-poor performance.
And add a 7th P with my last name, Pre-planning prevents piss poor performance, Popper.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The seven P's. I love it. I love it. I love it. No, that's one of those phrases my father used to always say to me that, like, oh, but it's true.
I'm going to put that on the wall of my office.
I'll make you a sign.
Thank you. I'll appreciate that. Oh, did we get off subject?
We did, but it's such a fun game once a month. And if anybody's interested in joining us, definitely check out our Patreon page.
Well, the reason, and I have to throw this out, the reason that we did it on Thursday was because someone else couldn't make it on Wednesday.
Right.
And little Frank Ramsey, we accommodated Frank Ramsey and did it on Thursday instead of Wednesday.
We did.
And then he was the first one out. No, yeah. Second one out.
Well, you got him, right, Joe?
Yeah.
I think you got him, which is good. I razzed him about that when I saw him at Play Poker Chicago over the weekend. So, yeah, he was not a happy camper. But, hey, I didn't see the Bears game, so we're even.
Well, the fun thing about it is that we have audio and video, so you can see everybody. And so Bob, he showed his Fu Manchu for the first time. So
got that winter growth. Ooh, yeah. You got that winter growth going on, Bob. It's nice. It's fun. I mean, it's interactive. I love the fact that we can do that together, that we can have a private game. And it's really nice to get to know people. And it's actually really fun to see what happens each month. You know, it's yeah. It's neat.
It is. And we're and the list of players is growing. So I encourage everybody to get on, beat the ambassadors, beat Joe, beat L, beat Chicago Joe, beat Brian, beat us all if you can.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get extra perks. I mean, you get the sneak peeks into who's gonna be in the magazine in the following month. We ask and like to take polls on what do you want to hear. There's some behind the scenes content that gets put out there as well. We're growing it. We're still growing it. But we'd love to have you join us in that growth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what about that game of gold, Joe? I mean, I know it got pushed a little bit and then you've been watching it. I haven't watched it with you, but what can you tell us?
It's four episodes in. Well, actually five episodes in now, and they've already had 500,000 people watching it, and people are excited about it. I watched it. It's awesome. If anybody wants to check it out, it's on GG Poker's YouTube channel. And if you haven't heard about it, I've been talking about it on here, but if you haven't heard me talking about it, it's like Poker After Dark meets Survivor. And I love it. It's features. So you've got the big names in there, like Daniel Negreanu and Jason Kuhn, Maria Ho.
Josh Harrier.
But you've got lesser known people like the MSPT Player of the Year, which is actually from Chicago, Bob. Kina England. Oh. You've got streamers, Lucas Robin Poker Robinson and Johan Gilbert. He actually goes by Yo Viral.
I love when people have names.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of his streams, but the episodes come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you haven't checked it out, I think you will not be disappointed. I love it. But this first round of it, they have different sit and goes, and you get points depending on who wins, which team wins the sit and goes, and then there. At the end of this week, then somebody will be eliminated. So we'll see.
One person or a team?
One person.
Oh, okay.
So, yep, there's 16 players. And I don't know, I haven't seen yet, but, you know, are they going to do it like Survivor style where their team has to vote one of them out? Or how's that going to work? I don't know.
So there's four teams of four. And then they keep track of points individually, and then they have to go to, what is that called, the tribal council?
Yeah.
Yeah, something yeah, like that.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how that
you,
works out.
You talked about Kina, MSPT Player of the Year.
Yeah.
We just had an MSPT event here at the Ameristar Casino in East Chicago, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jeremy Smith and his crew just do such a great job of doing that. And actually,
yes, they do.
A record was set up there. Blake Bond, who is in the Minnesota Hall of Fame, Poker Hall of Fame, won his fifth final table at the MSPC. There were 557 people there. and he grabbed first place, and landed him actually in third place this year for Player of the Year. And that was a fantastic thing. I mean, five victories, main table victories, and I was going to play out there in one of the events, but a seniors event, and Mike Puccio outlasted everybody else in that to take down the seniors event. And again, the MSPT out here is really great. Actually, we've got a WSOPC event going on right now at Grand Victoria up in Elgin.
I'm going to
go out there tomorrow and see if I can see Michelle and her crew and maybe put a couple of shekels down and trade them in for chips and see if I can make that chip stack grow.
All right. Well, you're on here, and there's always that Any Up Run Good from the show. So we'll keep an eye out on that. You know, there's a pretty big tournament going on in Europe with the WSOP Europe out there. And there was an amateur player won his first ever live tournament, and he won it at a WSOP Europe event, won a bracelet. He played event number 15, which is the closer. He turned 500 euro into 60,000. Wow. So
which is pretty close to the US dollar if you're thinking about it. 500 euro is about 543 US dollars. So I'd say that's a pretty darn good return. 560,000. Way to go, dude. I loved his response. Very typical German. Drop in the bucket. I still have a job. I'm not going to be able to play any more tournaments because I have to go back to work. So yeah. Found that very, very typical, but also admirable and honorable as well that he's still out there playing to have a good time. And hopefully, you know, now his bankroll has, I don't even know what you would call that. It's like way bigger than quadruple, doubled. His bankroll is huge now compared to 500 euro.
Yeah. And he said he was sure that he would someday win a bracelet, but it was earlier than he thought. So,
and which one was that, Joe?
It was WSOP Europe, event number 15, which is called the closer.
Ah, okay.
Speaking of WSOP Europe, though, the fields for these WSOP events just keep breaking records. This year's total entries for the WSOP Europe broke the record for most entries in a Europe event. So their final total was 817, which broke last year's record of 763. So they just keep, WSOP just keeps churning in, well, poker in general just keeps breaking records with attendance. So as we've said numerous times on this podcast, poker's not dead.
Well, you know, whoever said that, and we've gone back and forth and talked about that a handful of times, you know, between the WSOP, the MSPT, World Poker Tour now has announced they're going to do live streaming of the events that are at Wynn. November 29th, I think it starts, until December 23rd. Yeah. You know, that's huge. And you know, it means there are a lot of people out there that want to tap into poker. And not just on TV, you know, the days when it was just on television and on Pluto or whatever it was. Even online casinos and poker bills in Illinois that were dead are still now kind of alive and kicking. The General Assembly here has got about a year and a half now to look to pass the two bills that were introduced this past February. So we might become, I think, the sixth state in the country to have real money online poker available if they reinstate that.
Oh, wow.
There's just a clamoring for it out here. We see lines and wait lists everywhere. But poker's not, it's not dead.
Well, keep us posted on that bill. Anytime, you know, we have ambassadors or listeners that can keep us posted on, you know, what's the heartbeat? What are the boots on the ground hearing and seeing in your area? We love that. So thanks for sharing that with us, Bob.
Yeah.
You got it.
Well, listen, guys, I really appreciate you joining me again for another table talk. And let's do it again.
Next week is Thanksgiving. Stay well, be well. And we'll talk to you after the big turkey day.
Yes.
Okay. Enjoy family, friends, good meals, and health and happiness to all.
Likewise. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Elle.
Welcome. Bye.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would rule on situations that come up in your games, and he's with me again this week. Hey, Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How you doing?
I am doing well. Hey, we have a call the floor this week that's sent in by Michael. He just gave me his first name, Michael, in Kansas City, Missouri. Not Kansas City, Kansas.
Most of Kansas City is.
It is true. but Michael says that he open shoves preflop from under the gun in a tournament with a dead small blind. It folds around and the dealer pushes me the pot and I release my hand as the button says, I still have cards. My hand is unidentifiable and irretrievable, which is important. The floor is called. He rules that the button's hand is live because the big blind's fold did not constitute significant action. And citing a WSOP rule, I must surrender a min raise to him. When I say that I only mucked my hand once the dealer started pushing me the pot, he agrees that it is an unfortunate situation. Was this the right decision?
Unfortunate is correct. There's a lot to unpack here. Dealer pushes the pot to the guy, thinking the round is over.
Right.
Well, why did the guy on the button wait till the pot was pushed to speak up?
Yeah.
Give me a break. At some point, he's responsible for knowing when it's his turn to act. He had plenty of opportunity before that pot was pushed to speak up. And he really did. The big blind acted. And he still didn't speak up. The dealer pushed the pot, and he finally spoke up. So, generally in that spot, you only give up the amount of money if you're declaring the hand dead and moving the pot to the person with live cards. Yeah, that's the way the rule is written, even in the TDA, as long as generally the least amount of chips possible you can move to the other player. But that rule shouldn't apply here. The guy on the button didn't act in turn. Right. He waited way too long. He let the action pass him. And at this point, it almost looks intentional, although you can't say one way or the other. But at some point, he's responsible for speaking up and letting everybody know he's got cards before the hand is over. And generally, when you consider significant action, the dealer burning and turning or moving chips to a player, that's also considered part of the action. Well, in this very specific situation, I'm not inclined to let the button's hand be live. Tough. Speak up. Pay attention. Protect your hand. He didn't do any of those things.
Yeah.
And the best part was the guy who open raised, our hero, he held his cards until the pot was pushed to him.
Right.
He did everything he was supposed to do. Why does none of that count? But the guy who wasn't paying attention and let the action pass him, he gets relief from the rules, but the guy who followed the rules and did everything correctly gets no relief. You know what? Tough. Go to hell. I'm not inclined to give the guy on the button a single chip. Sir, you got a dead hand. You had plenty of time to speak up. There's no more board. This hand doesn't play. We're done. Your cards are dead. This is the winner. Moving on with life here. This was the wrong decision. Very specifically to this specific situation where a guy lets the action pass and then speaks up when all is said and done. I will go to great lengths to never decide in that person's favor.
Yeah. I've seen situations where, you know, one person is thinking and you'll see one person fold after him and it starts like a chain reaction of people folding. But sure. Usually, you know, it doesn't get very far before somebody speaks up, whether it's the person with the cards in their hand or it's the dealer that says, hold on, hold on, hold on. So the dealer definitely has part of this, you know, part of the blame falls on the dealer here, I believe too. But that player that says they still have hands, still have a hand. That's
wasn't aware. So unless it's a seat one, seat nine situation where the big blind and the button can't see each other, there's little excuse for the button not speaking up at all ever.
Right. Yeah. The majority of this definitely falls on that player, and it definitely does kind of feel like an angle shoot of sorts. So
inadvertently or not, some people are just doofuses and just can't pay attention. Well, they're welcome action for the game. Let's face it. The game is built upon players who are obviously not playing at 100%. That's how most people win, playing against people who don't play as well.
Right.
But at some point, any player sitting down, regardless of skill level, is obligated to actually pay attention and speak up when things are happening exactly like this. The few times it's happened when somebody has jumped over me in the action, I've spoken, sir, it's not your turn yet. I've got cards right here. I haven't just waited for everything to happen. I mean, this leads into one of the most misused rules and poor decisions across the game, which is the inadvertent burn and turn, where obviously all of a sudden a guy pops up with cards. In a lot of those cases, it's not a burn and turn. It's a guy letting five people act and then seeing another card or flop and then deciding he doesn't like it and saying, wait a minute, I still got cards. I didn't act yet. Wrong. You let the action pass. Your hand dead.
Yeah.
And it almost never gets ruled correctly. A lot of times, that's actually a dead hand, not an inadvertent burn and turn. So this is very similar, although the burn and turn was obviously pushing the pot. At some point, the player who was skipped is responsible, and in this case, he certainly was.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I mean, we always come back to the pay attention, but in this case, you got to speak up. You got to say, hey, I have some cards here, so...
All right, as soon as the big blind sends his cards into the book, you're supposed to speak up and say, wait a minute, it's not your turn yet.
Yeah.
We've said it before. It is not the dealer's job to tell you when it is your turn. It is your job to know when it is your turn. It is specifically the dealer's job to let you know when you're acting out of turn.
Right. So, yeah, Michael, I mean, this is interesting. And it definitely sounds like they stuck to a rule that doesn't apply here. So that's unfortunate, but technically did everything you could do by holding onto your hand until the pot was being pushed to you.
Yeah.
So it really is unfortunate as you stated, but thanks for sending that in. And if anyone has call the floor that they would like to know how Elliot would rule, send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. Elliot, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
And we'll see you next week.
See you then. Thanks.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We're back with another Hand of the Week. Patrick, how are you?
I'm good, man. And yourself?
I am doing well. I cannot complain.
I'm glad to hear it.
Living the dream.
Life is good, my friend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I want to mention right at the get-go, so our sponsor for Hand of the Week is Jackpot Digital. And I mentioned last week that I didn't want to say too much about, you know, where some of these were going or were already at. And I do have permission. I can say some of these. So I'm just going to list out some of these tables that are going into or are already in Gold Resort and Casino, Coyote Casino, the Jackson Rancheria in California, Northern Waters Casino Resort in Michigan, Glacier Peaks in Montana, and Boomtown in Biloxi, as well as Hollywood in Mississippi and Cactus Pete's out in Nevada. So that's just some of them. There's more, but those I know I can mention.
They're just rocking and rolling now. So, I mean, it's the way he's going to continue to go. I mean, with those things, it's going to be awesome. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I wanted to mention those specifically because if you're in those areas, go play on these machines and send us in like your honest review of the tables, because I really want to know what you guys think. I think they're phenomenal, but you guys let us know what you think of them. And, you know, if you've seen the ad in our magazine or checked out the website from the link in the podcast description, you know, Jimmy Johnson is their brand ambassador as well. And who knows, maybe sit down at the table with Jimmy Johnson.
That would be legendary. I'd love that. I love it. Maybe they can get both Jimmy Johnsons. Put that in their docket.
Is Jimmy Johnson from NASCAR a poker player?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
A bunch of the NASCAR guys are. I don't know how.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I know it was big when they got started. I don't know where there's a big one that they play. They like during the off season they have a big getaway. I don't know where it is, but we'll have to get the guys and see if they can grab the other Jimmy Johnson too. Wouldn't that be legendary?
Well, not that I want to bring up the Bills really after their debacle on Monday night, but you know there are a bunch of Bills that play a weekly poker game too, and I would love to get into that game.
That would be sweet. Yeah, I won't bring that one up either. I didn't watch it live, I will say, but the highlight is just it's a rough year. I will say this one, other than, not to get off topic real quick, but I mean, normally there's, you know, your handful of teams that are really good, handful of teams that aren't. There's a very good, like, I don't know who's gonna break out for playoffs this year. I mean, there's no one that's really, really, really running away with it. Like, normally there's four or five teams that are. You know, you've got two, three tops now.
So, yeah.
But it's just football season.
It is. It is. We'll see how it shakes out. This season right here is a prime example of why I don't bet sports.
let me tell you. It's we do our little survivor pool, and that was going week three. That was the shortest stint that I've had in quite some time. So anyway, so what do we got for hand of the week?
Our hand of the week this week, just buckle up because we're going to play a little PLO.
Oh.
sent in by Matt Hayward. And you know when Matt submits a hand of the week, it's going to be PLO. It's going to be online. And he is playing 2 cent, 5 cent.
Okay.
He actually submitted two hands of the week this week from the same session, and asked that we do them in successive weeks. So,
okay. So we're playing back-to-back weeks. All right.
Be prepared.
Bring it on, Matt.
He said that the second one is probably impacted by the way the first one plays out. So,
ooh, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Now I'm really intrigued as to how this is going to go.
Yeah.
But as I said, 2 cent, 5 cent PLO online. That's Matt's game. He's been playing for about 30 minutes. He bought in for $10 and has been up and down a little, which makes sense because it's PLO and it's such a swingy game.
Yep.
We sit in the big blind in this hand and we have $8.35 in our stack.
Okay.
Under the gun folds, middle position calls.
Okay.
And he has $7.78 in his stack. It gets around to the button, who raises to 45 cents. They have $10.42 in their stack. And the small blind calls, they have $9.60 in their stack.
Okay.
It's on us now in the big blind with the ace of hearts, five of hearts, six of clubs, four of clubs.
Yeah, I'm calling that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, good hand. Not. I mean, nothing great. I mean, but you got two possible, you know, suiteds there, so you could go.
Right.
Yeah, I'm calling that.
Yeah. So let me just preface this a little bit, because I mentioned last week on Table Talk, like, PLO is the game I probably have the least experience with. Now, you mix in some split pot action, and I'm there for sure. But PLO is such a swingy game because of the percentages. The percentages for hands in PLO preflop are so close.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. You know, and that's why the pots get so big so fast. So, I mean, you can win or lose your entire stack in one hand.
Yeah, no
or
doubt.
You anyway. But anyway, it gets a little insane. So this hand, this type of hand right here is probably one of my leaks in PLO. You give me an ace and a double suited hand, and I'm probably playing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was my thought process too. I was like, okay, let's go.
Is it the right way to look at it? I don't know.
Oh, no.
Especially when one of the suits that you're playing with is 6-4.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not sure that that's the proper way, but that's what I'm doing. I'm not raising, but I'm definitely calling.
Okay.
So, it looks like is what Matt does as well.
All right.
And middle position also calls.
Nice.
So, okay. The pot after rake is $1.71.
Okay.
And the flop comes out 9 of hearts, 2 of hearts, 6 of spades, and the small blind checks.
Well, I like that many hearts on the board.
That's a good start.
That's a very good start. I'm probably going 65 cents. What?
65 cents? Is, yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, less than half pot.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I guess this is where exactly what I was just talking about, though, right? This is where the pots start to get bloated and you start putting in a stack chasing a heart. So I could see where you could check for pot control, but yeah. I'm not. I've got the nut flush draw. If that final heart comes in, my fear is that nobody else will call once it hits. So you've got to get the money in there now rather than later.
Yeah.
So if you want to get paid anyway. The other side to that I'm thinking about now is we do also have to consider the fact that the original raiser is left to act and they could 3-bet us if we put in a bet right now.
Yeah.
So I think with all of that said, I think what I probably do is bet around quarter pot.
Okay.
So like 45 cents and see if the, who was it? The button.
Yeah.
Button. Wants to bet more.
Okay. What our friend Matt do?
But he checks.
Okay.
So in fact, it checks around.
Really?
So yeah. So there you go. All right. The pot. Yeah. Nobody wanted to get involved there. The pot's still $1.71. And the turn card is the Queen of Hearts.
Boom.
And the small blind checks.
Okay. So here's two thought processes. If we want to get paid some, we don't go too hard too fast.
Yeah.
The other thought is, okay, well, these pots get elevated anyways, and, you know, maybe someone else has got the flush as well, and we know we've got them. And we get a little bitty more. I'm going to go with the previous. Everyone checked. Everyone's skittish anyways. So I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to kind of stick around where I was for what I suggested for the first one. You know, in that 65-70 range. Probably 65 cents.
Okay.
Get someone else in. Get paid a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely could make a case for like a
sure
full pot size bet here too, especially since you've got to be thinking, well, now I missed a bet that I could have had on yep. the flop. So do I make up for it here? And if you just take it down, then so be it. You don't want to play this scared, like monsters under the bed. Like, oh God, if the board pairs, then I'm, you know, dude, yep. they have the full house. You don't want to be playing that. So that way I think I still go half pot. You definitely yeah. have to put some money in. Hopefully we put in half pot. Hopefully we end up heads up.
Yeah, that'd be the best case scenario.
Matt says, this is where I kick myself for not betting on the flop. But that's being results oriented. And he bets 86 cents, which, yeah, that's about half pot. Yeah. And I understand what he's saying about being results oriented, but I do think not betting – on the flop was probably a small mistake. Again, it's harder to get the money out of the players when that three to the flush is on the board.
Yeah.
Unless they have some good draws. And then you start playing monsters under the bed again.
Yep.
So the button is the only one to call. And we're on to a river with $3.36 in the pot after rake.
And they were the first. The button was the first original raiser, correct?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So 336 in.
And the river is the eight of diamonds. So
nine of hearts, two of hearts, six of spades, queen of hearts, eight of diamonds. Find a way to get paid more.
Exactly. That's what I was just getting ready to say. Is now we just have to think about how much value we can extract from them. How high do we turn on the vacuum at this point?
I like that. I don't know that I've ever heard that. I like that a lot. All right. So they were the original raiser. They checked around after we did, after the flop. They called our bet of a half pot. I'm going high. I'm going 275.
So three quarter pot?
Yeah, three quarter. Or maybe... I'd go 255.
Okay.
You know, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think the hard part is you want them to call.
Yep.
If you go full pot, you're probably going to scare them away. Doing something like three quarter pot is probably fine. I was thinking half pot, which is like 150, 160, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, 160 and change, yeah.
So, if we go less, if we go small, I don't think they're going to raise us, right? So, whatever we want to get is what we have to put out there, but also thinking about them not folding. Matt bets 168, so half pot. The button calls.
There you go.
And Matt takes in the pot of $6.58.
Well, there you go. Nice. Did they say what the other one, the button had?
It does not say what they had. I guess they didn't show. His question afterward, though, is what sizing is appropriate on the turn and river? And is this the reason to lead out on the flop?
Okay. Well, the backhand of that question from the novice here is yes. Lead out something on the flop, especially in... I mean, you don't have a terrible hand by any means, but lead out with something. But then, you know, if you've got someone that's, you know, holding on to pure gold, you know, does the pot start to get inflated quicker than you wanted to? Yeah, maybe.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, at that point, you've got a, you know, the nut flush draw. You know, are you really doing that bad?
Here's the thing. I think that just judging from the way this hand played out, and I think people in general with PLO get really caught up in half pot and above. Half pot, pot, half pot, pot. There's other bets in there. And you know, what I was saying is bet a quarter pot on the flop. Then if they want to come over the top, they can, but you're still putting something in there, but you're not inflating it as big. I mean, that's my thought is, yeah, bet something. Go less than half pot and see where that takes you.
Yeah.
So
now the other part of that question was what is good sizing or what, you know, did he have good sizing? Yeah, I think he did. You know, on the turn of the river, I think they were pretty good. I think they were in line with what we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, could you've done a little more, a little less, probably, but I think they're right in line with what we were thinking.
Yeah.
And you got yourself paid. You guaranteed you got yourself paid.
Yeah.
You know, if you go 250 like I was thinking, maybe that guy's like, you know what, we got the flush, you know, we're going to fold. And, you know, instead of a 658 pot, you know, you're sitting there far less. So,
yeah,
I think sizing was spot on.
Yeah, I think the sizing's fine. Definitely go half pot on the turn for sure. On the river, could you have gone a little bit bigger? I mean, maybe, but you definitely ensured yourself getting called with a half pot. So I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think those are good.
Yep. I got to tell you, I'm crazy intrigued for the next hand.
I know.
Stay crazy tuned. Intrigues. Come on tuned. Back, folks.
And if anyone has a hand that they would like Patrick and I to break down after that one, then send it to podcast@annieupmagazine.com and we'll get it on. Patrick, I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, man. Cheers, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
You know, last week in the Hand of the Week segment, we talked about the fact going over these hands each week has helped Patrick get better. And I hope they're helpful to you as well. But it reminded me of something a baseball coach told me. Whatever you don't use, you lose. So if you don't remain physically active, your fitness level will decline. If you don't practice a language you've learned, you're going to forget some of the vocabulary. The same thing goes for your brain. You have to continue to challenge your mind and engage in cognitive exercises. You even need to continue to engage in simple human virtues. Ambition, unused, declines. Strong feelings, unused, diminish. Confidence, unused, decreases. Energy, unused, decreases. If you quit doing those things, you lose automatically. The idea here is that consistent use or practice is essential for maintaining and enhancing any part of your life. In poker, you need to continue to challenge yourself to prevent a decline. Because when you decline in poker, you're really just left trying to get lucky. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Annie Up Podcast is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnnieUpMagazine.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.